lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're in my life. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm so glad you came to save us.
From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. 인도하여 Hallelujah. Lord, save us, help us. Hosanna. Father, we exalt you, be lifted up. Lord Jesus, be lifted up in our praise and draw all men to yourself. Lord, we are here today because we want to be here with you. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Show us what we need to know. Groom us and grow us the way we ought to be grown. So, Lord, O God, that your name may be exalted in us at all times. We trust you with our lives tonight. Help us, Father. Help us. This is our cry. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. I celebrate the goodness of God in all of our lives. Thanksgiving is a gateway to receiving more from God. Even in this life, we give more to those who are thankful. And if you and I want to ever experience God in His fullness, it is not possible without thanksgiving. The Word of God says, it is God's will concerning us that we give thanks in all things. This is God's will concerning you. Concerning me, thanksgiving. So let us start out this evening by just taking a moment. You personally just giving thanks to God that you are alive. Give God thanks that you are alive. Give God thanks that you're not stuck somewhere in some hospital. Give God thanks that your mind is still clear. Do you know how much you'll have to pay just to get oxygen through your lungs, through your blood? Give God thanks that you're able to use your limbs. Give God thanks. That you're able to chew your food, give God thanks. Give God thanks that you're able to breathe on your own. There is nothing that you have that you function and wait right now that is not expensive if you don't have it. Just give God thanks. Father, I give you thanks that I'm alive, I am well, I'm strong, my mind is sharp, it's clear. I am healthy. I thank you for my family, for church members. I thank you for finances. I thank you for wisdom, insight, knowledge. I thank you for all things that I have. I thank you for all the people in my life. I thank you for your goodness revealed unto me. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who has favored me. You're a good God, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In the last little while, we've been talking about peace, and then we started talking about joy. And one of the fundamental aspects that we established concerning joy is that joy is the reflection of God's presence in your life. And we tied that to the fact that when God is in your life, that you need to reflect that glory at the enemy and say, God is with me. And when you do that, it pushes back the enemy because of the joy in your life. Then we talked about peace. That's where we started. We talked about peace being not just a reflection, but the activation of the presence of God. Because God has given to every one of us his peace, and we need to activate it. Until you activate the peace of God that God has given to you, you live a life of worry. You live in fear, you live in doubt, and you live in confusion. And in essence then, this love or peace and joy, the currency that it flows forth through is the love of God. You must desire and love God and know that God loves you. If you don't know that God loves you and you're not tapping and engaging with that love, you will not have peace. You will not have joy. No matter how hard you try, all you will have is happiness. But happiness is based on something happening. It's based on happenings. Peace and joy are not based on happenings. They are yours in spite of whatever it is that's happening in your life. If good things are happening in your life, you're joyful. If bad things are happening, you're still joyful. If good things are happening, you're still in peace. If bad things are happening, you're still in peace. It's not calibrated based on your environment. In essence, peace and joy are like a thermostat, not a thermometer. A thermometer reads the temperature of the room. A thermostat regulates the temperature of the room. Amen. You need to be one who is not enslaved to the circumstances of life, but rather one who dictates what is happening in your life. Hallelujah. I pray and I hope you understood that. You need to regulate what's happening in your life. You need to determine what's happening in your life rather than be subject to everything that is happening. You regulate. And in that place of regulation, you determine what stays and what cannot stay. When you stay hot enough, flies cannot perch on you. Praise the Lord. So you and I need to be hot, hot, hot. Glory be to God. How do you stay in that hot place? By praising God. By expressing thanks to God. No matter what's happening, you're always in that mindset of praising and worshiping God. You're at work, you're praising. You're at home, you're praising. You are sleeping, you're praising. You say, how is that possible? How can you be sleeping and praising? There are dimensions. When you start praising God while you're sleeping, the first stage is that you don't sleep. But you can, by the grace of God, keep on in your spirit praising God while your body rests and sleeps. Now, when you are in that place, and we all grow, every one of us grows. When we grow and we begin to be in that state of praise, it is because we have practiced the presence of God. You've practiced the presence of God. So what do you mean by practicing the presence of God? It is recognizing that you are in the presence of God at all times, and that He, God, is worthy of all praise, all worship, all adoration, nonstop. Amen? And if you know, God does not sleep. Yeah? He tells us in His word He doesn't sleep. So, when He is in full control of my spirit, my soul, and my body, while my physical body, and it needs it, sleeps, my spirit is alive because my spirit came from God who does not sleep. The Bible says an enemy did this while they were asleep. And the Lord says to us, watch and pray lest you fall into divers temptations. Watch and pray, or else you fall into temptations. And the Word of God says, God does not tempt anybody. Wow. Okay, so if God does not tempt anyone, that means that I am in that state in the realm of the Spirit where I'm fully connected to His life. My life and His are one. Now, let's go a little bit deeper. The Bible says that we are dead in Christ, and that we are living in Christ. And the life that we live is the life of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, and that we are living that life by His faith, because we're dead. Praise the Lord. So if I'm living His life, and I'll share with you in a moment the applications of what I'm talking about. If it is His life that is living through me, and He is God, then He, God, that lives in me, who does not sleep, is awake. Is that okay? Okay. And if that is the truth, and it is, then the enemy cannot sow tares in my field because I am not asleep. He sowed it when they were asleep. Praise the Lord. Is God against sleeping? No. Because the Word of God says in Psalm 127 that He giveth His beloved sleep. God wants you to sleep. What's the purpose of sleep? The purpose of sleep is for rest. Hello? It is for what? Rest. Now, God wants me to rest. So the net result then is that I get to sleep. Now, people who are living in the world of worry cannot sleep because they are worrying. And that's not what God has for you. God has His peace and His joy. Romans, the 15th chapter, beginning to read from the 13th verse, tell us about this combination. It says, now the God of hope, and we talked about hope today, this morning, a little bit of that. We talked about, I was using my book, last week I used a coin. And I said about the notebook, if the front page is peace and the back page is joy, the distance between the front page, or rather the front cover and the back cover, the pages in there, is hope. That's the posture that you take while you wait for the manifestation of what God said. And we established that you cannot operate in hope if you've not heard from God. You live in the world of wishful thinking. Hope is based on the foundation of you hearing from God. God said this to me. And while you're waiting for the manifestation of what God said, you are in hope. And in that state of hope, you are hoping through this bridge, this system called patience. If you remember that. And we talked about patience being the Greek word hupo or hypomone. Hypo meaning under, mone meaning standing, the abiding place. And we're going to pull all of this together in just a moment, an abiding place. So we said from the Word of God that patience, let patience have its full work so that you become entire, it says, lacking nothing. It says, let it do its full work. By you staying under the covering of the Word of God that you have received. I heard the Word of God. God said this. I'm staying under that Word. And as I stay on that Word and not listen to any other voices, because you cannot be in that state of peace and joy and have hope if you are listening to other voices or watching your circumstances. It will strip you of your capacity to be steadfast in faith. So you're staying under. And we said, as you stand under, meaning patience, that you come to a place of understanding. If you flip standing under, flip it around, it becomes understanding. And that understanding comes about because you are learning from God. And part of understanding, are you with me? Part of understanding is asking questions. God is not confused by your questions. If you have a question, ask God. And He says He will not upbraid you. In fact, He says, if you lack wisdom, in James chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, ask. What is wisdom? Wisdom is that capacity to come, hear God's word, and do it. That's a wise man. A foolish man comes, hears God's word, and doesn't do it, and therefore does not see the manifestation of it. The word of God is very clear that trouble comes to everybody. Everybody. The storm comes to everybody. But it's the wise man who's activating the word of God that stays because he's under that covering. and he has understanding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, he says, now the God of hope. Normally it would say the God of peace, but God wants you to know that hope, joy, and peace are connected. So he says, the God of hope, that center part, that core part, fill you with all joy, fill you with all peace in what? In believing. In believing. God gives you this so that you can believe. And this believing, pisteo, is the walk of faith. Is it faith? Yeah, faith. Remember what we said earlier, your joy and your peace, your hope, is connected to you loving God and you knowing that God loves you. In fact, God loves you. That's why you are able to love God back. Right? Now we have all of this all together. Why is this important? Because the only way faith works and can work is through love. The Bible says, faith worketh by love. Now, James 1 says, let patience have its full work. Is this getting too heavy for you tonight? Too much? Your spirit understands. Amen. What I'm saying to us is this, that in this plan and purpose of God, there are lots of things that are happening. And every part is like an ingredient that God is putting in a mix to bake something into place. Just like you need your eggs and you need your dairy, maybe butter, sugar, maybe some salt, flour, and whatever else to make a cake. God is working on something in you and in me. And what he wants us to do, because God will not force himself on any one of us. When you're talking about love, God does not force himself. God does not say, I love you and I force myself on you. That would be rape. Hello? There's got to be intimacy. And intimacy or into me see is a two-way traffic. God wants me to be intimate with him, to see him, and he wants to see me. That's where I surrender myself to him, because it is in my surrender, or my surrendering of myself to God, that all of the components begin to manifest itself. So Galatians chapter 5 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, it says the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. And he starts out and he tells us in Galatians chapter 9, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Yes? Is that right? Love. And then what? Joy. And then what? Peace. The very first manifestations of those three is love, joy, peace, and what then? Long-suffering. That's another way of talking about patience. Do you see it? It's all there. And having a gentleness about you. And it ties on to goodness, you knowing the goodness of God. And then here comes faith. Now, let's go back to Romans 15 again. And I want you to notice gentleness and goodness. It says, okay, I hear you. The Lord wants me to make a shift. As soon as I get this through, I'll make that shift. And this is completely, totally different. I think in my natural mind, it's totally, totally different message, but he wants me to go somewhere. That he may abound, he says, in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. No, I stop. I'm not going to complete that thought. Come with me to the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. The purpose of preaching or teaching the Word of God is not so that you make your point. It's about hearing what God wants to talk about now. And it's made a shift on me and said, this is where I want you to go. I wanted to complete my thought and says, I said, go here. So he's the boss. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, I am the true vine. This is the word of God. And my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. Watch this. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the true vine. Meaning there that there are false vines. But he is the true one. And the Father is the husbandman, the one that is taking care of the true vine. Then it goes on, it says, every branch in me, I want you to hear that, every branch in me, meaning every branch attached to me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If there is a branch, and that branch is in him, but it's not bearing fruit, he says he's going to take that branch away. How can you be in him and not be bearing fruit? How can you have the peace of God given to you and not walking in peace? How can you have the joy of God in your life as part of your spiritual DNA and not be manifesting it? He says, you not functioning as you have been created to function because you are attached to me, if you are not accepting the nourishment that's coming from me to you, which is meant to always produce fruit, then snip off. I was slow. Now I get it. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and all of that. That's why he wanted me to go here. Okay. All right. Thank you, Father. He says, if you're not bearing the fruit, you get to be taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit. Now, that statement that beareth fruit is not only a matter of producing fruit, but carrying fruit. And we said something this morning about the purpose of strength, not just power, that we need strength. Power makes it possible for me to carry this book very easily. Strength is what I need to keep it like that. Amen. Amen. Amen? God wants us to have not only the capacity to produce fruit, but the capacity to carry it. The one thing God hates is people who complain about the load that they are carrying. He hates that. If God gives you an assignment to do, He gives you the capacity to do it. Your inability to do what God has called you to do is because, like the man who was given the one talent, I know you like to reap where you didn't sow. I know you're an austere, mean guy. That brings you into a world of complaining. This ministry is too big for me. It's too small for me. It's too much people, too little people, too many pressures, and all of that. That nonsense, you got to get rid and flush off of your mind and say, this is what God has given me. What can I do with what God has given me to glorify Him who has chosen and elected me to be part of His team? Praise the Lord. So He says, every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So when God wants to enlarge you, He prunes you. Taketh away and pruning are not the same. Taketh away, it is cut back all the way and removed. Pruned is cut to the level where it needs to be cut so that it can continue to produce. Are we together? Yes. Now, when you prune it, that branch becomes thicker. Praise the Lord. Because God is working at it. Then He makes a statement that is very striking. He's talked about not being able to produce fruit and capacity to produce fruit. And then He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you are clean. What's the point? Let there be light, and there was what? Light. Now He says, now you are clean. And the idea is for you to say, yes, I am clean. Why is He saying now you are clean? He's saying now you are clean because I don't want you to get stuck with all of your mess up. You getting stuck with your mess up is not giving you the access to hope. I said you are saved and you're coming into my kingdom. You are in my kingdom and you are holy because I said I am holy, so you are you. But you messed up. You messed up royally. And He says to you, I say, you're clean. But Lord, I messed up. That's not what I want to hear from you. I'm a failure. That's not what I want to hear from you. What I want to hear from you right now is the mercies of God, the loving kindness of God, has made me new. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want you to embrace the word that I've given to you, that you are clean. Because as long as you think of yourself as unclean, you continue to produce uncleanliness. But when you understand that you're clean, you avoid anything that will cause you to be unclean. If I'm dressed in white or dressed in any outfit that is good, I don't jump into the mud. Hello? When you know that God has cleaned you, you don't go into messy situations. He says, you are clean based on the words I've spoken unto you. And the way you stay that clean is abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I abide in you. How is that even possible? How can I be in you and you be in me? Well, it's the place of intimacy. But the best illustration I can use for it is, if this were you, this circle were you, and this circle were God. When these two link together, this is in that, and that is in that. Do you see it? Okay. That's becoming a chain. That's coming into partnership. And what God is saying to us, to you and I, is this: I want you to come into partnership with me. You want to know joy, you want to know peace, you want to know victory in your life, come into partnership with me. Whatever it is that is your problem, I am assimilating that, I'm taking that, and I'm giving you all of me. That's what he did on the cross. He took on all of my sin, and he gave to me all of his righteousness. And then he took all of my sin and dumped it. Praise the Lord. He's well able to do that. So you and I need to trust God to do that for us. So when sadness and grief wants to creep into my mind, into my life, what I do and what I say is, that is not you. Therefore, I cast this burden onto you, and I take your burden. And he says his burden is light. Is that what the Word of God says? He says, learn of me. Learn of me. That's what God is calling every one of us to do. Learn of him. Watch him. What is he doing? How did he do it? And he's saying, I want you to partner with me. Because as you partner with me, the result is this, that you're going to bear fruit. It says, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. What vine? The true vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. You cannot be fruitful if you don't abide in me. And the reason that you have been cut off is because you are attached but not abiding. Just like people, you know, there are people that come to church but don't have a relationship with the Lord. They are there because of their husband, their wife, their children, their parents, whatever. But a personal relationship they don't have. God says, this is between you and me. You need to make that connection. You need to make that connection. Your relationship with the Lord is not based on what relationship your pastor has or doesn't have. It's not connected to that. God wants to have a very personal relationship with you and bring you to a place where you are spiritually independent by dependent. That's a little bit confusing, but those two things work together in the kingdom of God. You are independent but dependent. So what do you mean independent? Your dependence in God and his word bring you to a place where God grooms you to become independent, in essence, where you can make your own decisions because you have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. God doesn't want you to be a baby forever. He wants you to grow up. People that do not grow up end up depending on other people for their source of life. And that's not what God has intended. God intends for you to get everything that you need from Him by abiding in Him. And then He says, I am the vine. Don't forget that. I am the vine. Don't get big-headed and think you are all that. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. God wants us to be fruitful, but then He wants us to have more, much fruit. Amen. Because his idea is that we continue to flourish and grow. Now, if you came from the true vine, come. Vines get replanted or increased through taking a piece from the main stem and planting it, and it continues to expand. Yes? That's how it goes, right? Okay. Guess what? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So, in essence, God wants to bring you and I to a place where people look at you and say, I'm going to do exactly what he's doing. In Philippians chapter 4, after Paul lists out in verse 8 all the things that we need to focus on, take me there briefly and bring me back. It says in verse 8 here, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that will be the true vine, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you, because you're doing what I'm doing. You see that? So God's intent is, hey, I want you to be like me. I'm the true vine, and if you are surrendered to me and you are fruitful and you abide in me, even if I take a part of me and put it over here, it will still be me, because it has all of me in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants to reproduce himself. He wants to reproduce himself. That's why he created you in the first place in his own image and likeness. In his image and likeness. And he said, know ye not that you are gods, but you shall die as ordinary men. When you are rebellious, when you are not flowing with him, when you don't see yourself from the place where he has called you to, part of our fruitfulness is demonstrating the authority and the power of God in a very real, practical way on a very daily basis. It's what he's calling you and I to. He's saying, come up higher. I want you to stop thinking like ordinary men, like carnal-minded, flesh-centered men. Those are enemies of God. I want you to have the mind of Christ. How do you have the mind of Christ? By being connected to Him. Now back to John 15. And I'll begin to wrap as He leads me. He says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You bring forth much fruit because you abide in him and he abides in you. You're in partnership together. For without me, you can do nothing. That's something that has burned deep within you and I. I can only do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not able to do anything outside of him. He says, if a man abide not in me, if you don't abide in me, he says, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you don't abide in me, you'll be cut off, you'll be cast forth, and you will wither, and people will throw you into their fireplace and you'll be burnt up. If you abide in me, and this is how, are you ready for this? This is how you know that you are abiding in him. He tells you, and I, very clearly, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's the difference. If my words abide in you, if you take a hold of my word and you keep it, he says, that's the key. He says, not only will you be fruitful in that sense, he says, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You shall ask what you will. In other words, when you come into partnership with me, you can place an order. Say, Lord, I'm working in this area of the city, and this is the kind of problems that is there. But I do believe that if I have this and if I have that, I can have a breakthrough there. So I need assistance with these tools. I need this tool. I need that tool. He says, there you go. Take it. Let's see what you can do with that. You may not be able to accomplish much with it, but at least he's saying to you, if you want a wrench, I'm not going to deny you the wrench. Here's the wrench. Let's see what you can do with the wrench. Do you remember Adam? God created everything. And he says, he needs a partner. He needs a partner. It's not good that he's alone. So God brings all these animals. And Adam began to name the animals. Elephant, giraffe, tortoise, a cow, buffalo, sheep, goat. You look alike, but you're goat. And God says, there you go. That's it. God brought him into partnership. And God is calling you and I to partnership. Yes. Because he wants you to grow up so that you move by his authority to establish his will in the earth as it is in heaven. When the disciples asked him, when they saw the mighty move of God through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, they noticed that he, now and then, he will separate himself and go up that mountain and he goes spend some time over there. And then he comes down and then blind man see, deaf hear, you filthy scoundrel, get out of him. And all kinds of things were happening. So they said, teach us to pray. We notice that when you go and you come back, This is what's happening. They never heard Jesus praying for the sick. They heard him declaring. And they noticed that most likely the reason that was happening is because of what he was doing on the backside, talking with God in prayer. So they said, teach us to pray. And the response of Jesus is prayed like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be hallowed. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, people think that's, you know, a McChicken or something. No, but it is the assignment for the day. The day is not done, but I believe there are things that God wants you to accomplish today that needs to be accomplished. Tomorrow is going to come, and there's going to be an assignment for tomorrow that is God-given. Are you with me? Yes. Please hear this. You don't want the enemy giving you any assignments. You want the God-given assignments. Because if you leave yourself just like that, the devil will get you busy. Hello? The devil will get you busy doing all kinds of crazy stuff that you have no business doing, and you think you're doing the right thing, and meanwhile you've wasted a lot of time not doing what God has on his mind for you. So we must, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus said, my bread is to do the will of the Father and to finish it, to complete whatever it is that the Father started. Because sometimes God gets something started and he wants you to finish it. Hello? He gets it started just to get you to finish it, so that you are in partnership together. We did this together. God wants to work together with me. And if that's my desire, to work together with him, then we are in the same play. He does all the work. Look, hear the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14. He says, it is the Father that doeth the works. All these miracles that you see, the Father did it. The Father did it. All I did was be healed. And the Father went and he did it. Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Jesus says, I want you to be in me. Now he says, I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Huh? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Even what I'm saying right now is not of myself. Look at that. I started out preaching something, teaching something, and the Lord says, the switch. And that's that. It's not because I was going to go to that verse, but that's God saying, we're not talking about that. We're going over here. And as soon as I obeyed him, we were still talking about the same thing. We didn't get out of the point, but it's an act of obedience. Are you going to listen to me? Yeah, I want to finish my point. Let me finish this point, then I'll go there. No, we're not doing that. We're going over here. Because it's not about me. It's about, it says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Oh, something's wrong here. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he speaketh the words. That's what should be there. But it says, he doeth the works. That means the works are not done without the words. But how am I going to have the words to speak if I have not listened to hear God? And if the word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, how am I going to speak the word of God if I have not filled myself with the word of God? How am I going to abide in Him without abiding, allowing the words of God to abide in me? Too many times we spit out the word of God. God gives us a word, we spit it out. We don't want that. Now, you are not, please hear me, you are not going to survive the next onslaught of the enemy if you don't have the word of God inside of you. This is not about the Sunday thing. I heard the message on Sunday. Praise God. No, this got to be a daily walk with God. You taking the word of God and eating that word, the bread of life. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The proof that I am connected with the Father and the Father is connected with me is that He's doing something. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, watch this, the works that I do. Are you ready for this? Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. The works that I do shall he do also. Exactly what I'm doing, you're going to do. And then he says, and greater works than these that you see me doing, shall you do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Is he with the Father? Yeah. And says, greater works we're going to do. Why are we not doing it? Because we've not allowed the word of God to abide, settle, stay under the word of God. We start, and if there's any kind of resistance, we quit. But what God is looking for are people who stand steadfast. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ being followed by thousands of people? Yeah? And then he said, take my body and drink my blood. And they all left him. From thousands, he's left with 12. And he asked the 12, what are you guys still doing here? Why didn't you guys leave? Where else do you want us to go? You've got the words of life. Amen. Is this what you want? To come into a place of intimacy? Then we want to be identified with you. I want my identity to be totally and completely tied to you. He says, but one of you is a devil. Talking about Judas. You're here, but you know. But you have a purpose. You're part of God's plan. You know the problem with Judas? Peter denied Jesus. Judas did not even, he betrayed Jesus, but he did not deny him. Peter repented. Judas took the decision in his hands and killed himself. I do believe if Judas had cried out, I made a mistake, Lord, I made a mistake, forgive me, that Judas would have been saved. The problem with many that will cause them to be lost forever is that they have not humbled themselves to believe that God, who said, hear this, if anyone does you wrong, forgive them 70 times 7 times in one day. That God who said that cannot do less than what he said. Now, I'm not saying go about blowing it and sinning all over the place, because God knows your heart. He knows people that are trying to play games. He knows people who are playing games. But if you are truly committed in having a relationship with God, he says, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. You take one step towards God, God's one step will get him closer than a billion steps that you will ever take. One step from God towards you is more than all the steps you can ever take. And today he's saying to us, to you and to me, hey, do you want to have a relationship? If you want to have a relationship with me, then let my words abide in you. Let them stay in you. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the canopy of God. Tonight, let the words that you've heard speak to your spirit. Let it energize you. Let it help you become more and more what it says you and I are called to be. I know that a lot of thoughts were communicated today that may be heavy, but I do understand this much, that your spirit understands the Word of God. So if there's anything that you missed, just go back, listen to the video or the audio, meditate through it, and let God expand His truth inside of you, because you're greater than you think. You're mightier than you think. You're stronger than you think. You are what God says you are. I am what God says I am. And we all can glorify God. He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you think Jesus wants Father to be glorified? Of course. And he's made a commitment. You ask anything in my name, as my representative, as my partner, that will be done. And the Father will be glorified. Jesus said, it is what I see the Father doing that I do. And when he says, I will do it, he's saying, I want you to keep your eyes on me. See what I'm doing. Hear what I'm saying. And do exactly the same thing. And you'll get the result that you need. Let us rise together. Father, we stand upon the integrity of your word. You said if we ask anything in your name, you will do it. Today, we embrace your word. Let it abide. Word of God, abide in me. Marinate every aspect of my person. Let the sincerity of God's word flood my spirit, my soul, my body. This day we repent to God of all unrighteousness. We repent to God of anything and everything that dishonors you. May our lives, O God, be lives that testify of your goodness and not be the reference point of blasphemy in the mouth of any. Manifest your glory in our lives, Father. We entrust our lives to you. Holy Spirit, help us. You are called to be our teacher, our comforter, our helper, the one who walks alongside of us, our paraclete. Holy Spirit, reveal to us while we are awake and while we are asleep the very essence of the God life and how it is that you want us to function. For this is the day, Lord God Almighty, that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. We want the heavens to break out with great joy because lives have been transformed, minds have been renewed, situations have been reversed. Your healing power is flowing freely and richly. Lord, we don't want to be religious people that deny your power. We want to be Spirit-led men and women that are led by your Spirit, filled with the fullness of the Word of life, who go forth with great power to establish the will of God in the earth as it is in heaven. We want to be, O God, those, O God, that are ready and prepared, have the preparation of the gospel of peace as our shoes. Those whose feet are beautiful. For those that preach the gospel, their feet are beautiful. Lord, we want to be fruitful. We abide in you. Now, Lord, let that which you have invested in us act like a magnet to draw men unto you. You said if we lift you up, you will draw all men unto you. Let us see the manifestation of that. For we give you praise, we give you thanks, Most High. We express thanksgiving to you. For your loving kindness is better than life. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for every one of you that came out tonight to hear the word of the Lord. Is there anyone here tonight that says, you know, Pastor, I need to make a connection with the Lord. I want a stronger relationship. I want to give license to the Word of God to abide in me. I don't just want to be a churchgoer, one who attends services. I don't want to be a religious person. I want to have a relationship with the Most High God. Will you pray with me tonight? If that's you, just raise your right hand and I'll pray. Bless you, son. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Praise God. Then let's rise again one more time. And say after me, Mighty God, I need you more than ever before. I need you. I want a relationship, a meaningful relationship with you. So come, take full possession of my life. From this day, it belongs to you. I will follow your instructions because you give me the strength to obey. Lord Jesus, take me by the hand and help me walk in obedience. I ask this because I want it to be so. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You said, if I ask, you will do it. So please do it. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. That the Father be glorified. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, this weekend is Mission Sunday. That means that we give towards missions. If you are not here this morning, this is your opportunity to give towards missions. Other than your regular tithe or offerings or whatever, in your envelope, there is a segment there that says missions. We're not asking for any particular amount, but we want to be able to sow into missions, so that when we need to accomplish an assignment, we can get it done. Amen? So, this is our time to give unto the Lord. May the Lord bless your giving. May He increase your seed sown. May He multiply you in ways that you cannot imagine. The God who worked and touched a woman's pot of flour and oil, and that pot of flour and oil did not stop producing until another solution was found. May He cause your little to become much. May He bless you in ways that you cannot imagine. May His peace garrison your heart, and may His joy flood your soul. May the days of hoping be shortened because you are thankful. And today you express your thanksgiving to Him through your giving. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we'll be dismissed from those that are on Facebook and YouTube in just a moment. But if you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, we'd like you to register for the meetings starting on the 10th of September to the 13th. It's a remarkable time because the 10th to the 13th is a celebration of Rosh Hashanah. That is the God New Year. And I'm believing that God is about to do something extraordinary for us, crowning our year with His goodness, with His favor. And we'd like for you to go and register. This is to you. Send your name and email to office at Glory and Peace, in that order, name and email. That is going to be sent to the committee, and they're going to send you a formal invitation, and you need to register through that information, through that website. And for the gala, which is on the 13th evening, and also it gives us an awareness of how many people are going to be in this hall on the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th morning. So we encourage you to register. And registration for the gala is going to close, I believe, at the end of July. So we need to do that ASAP so that we have the right numbers to pass on to the hotel where the gala is going to be taking place. Amen? So that's that point. And we look forward to experiencing God with you. Wednesday Bible studies are set aside for now, but Friday prayer meetings are available. And for the prayer meetings, you have to go on Zoom. Go through the Zoom link to participate because we don't do the prayer meetings through YouTube or Facebook or whatever else because we pray about sensitive stuff. Amen? All right. And so see you, for those of you that are Facebook and YouTube and Reddit people and other platforms.